All right, we'll turn our Bibles and continuing in the book of James in chapter number 5. And, you know, we are thankful for the Word of God. As we talked about that this morning. To know that our life is built upon the Word of God. It's such a blessing. And as you study the Word of God and you see the prophecies that are fulfilled and how that, that's how you know that it's true. Because the prophecies that are fulfilled and so many things there. It is the word of truth, and we're thankful for that. And so, as we look in the book of James, we remember James is talking about the practicalities of our faith. You believe, you say you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the effect of that in your life. It was just like J.R. was bringing out in his message today at the nursing home. You know, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You walk in the Spirit, there's some things that you will see. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, you know, and against those things, such things there is no law. So there will be an evidence of a new creation. And as we get to the book of James in chapter number 5, we're really preaching some verses that we have preached in the very beginning of this. And it was the patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord. And last week when we preached on James 4 in 2014, we talked about doing things according to the Lord's will and how that we don't know that the Lord may return in this upcoming year. And as we study about that, we understand that sometimes we have to patiently wait for the Lord's return. And that's really what the message is tonight. The practicality of patience. The practicality of patience. And the first thing we're going to look at, and we'll read just the first 12 verses of James chapter number 5. But the first thing we're going to look at is patience for those who are followers of Jesus Christ in relationship to those who have riches. So let's read James chapter number 5 verses 1 through 12. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were a fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, again, we recognize that as we have met to worship you, and now we're worshiping it around your word, that Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Lord, we understand tonight that as we speak your word, that it's just words unless your Holy Spirit takes it and makes it effective. And so, Lord, today as we continue to look into this book of James and the practicalities of our faith, we pray that those who are the hearers of this message this evening, that the Holy Spirit will stir their hearts. And, Lord, that we will all be encouraged to patiently wait on your return. Lord, we're thankful for the hope that we have that you are going to soon return. That one day, Lord, we're going to hear that trump sound and we're going to be caught up in the twinkling of an eye to be with you. And Lord, we're going to be in that place that you have prepared for us. Lord, we long for that day and we look for that day. We know that day draweth nigh. So God, we pray that you'll help us to be encouraged as we look forward to 2014 and recognize that this could be the year of the Lord's return. We pray that you'll help us walk faithfully and with perseverance and honoring you with the life that you have given us. Just thank you for this opportunity to come together and to learn your truth tonight. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So you can see here that James is talking to the early Christians. And remembering that these early Christians, they faced persecutions. And in a lot of cases, they had their homes maybe taken from them, or they had their lands taken from them, or they were mistreated by their bosses or the people that owned the land. How did they face the adversity of the rich people? And so of those that, and as you read there, you see what was happening to them, how that the rich kept back their wages by fraud, and they lived in pleasure and took no thought for those who may be less fortunate for them. So James is telling them, listen, as you face adversity in this world, how are you going to handle that? And it is to wait patiently. Now, the example that James uses here is to talk to those who may be rich. Now, you'll also notice not only is this encouragement for those who are the less fortunate, but it's also a warning to those who may have this world's goods. And so James identifies the actions of the rich. And that's what he calls them there in the verse number one. Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Again, it's kind of paralleling this morning's message in the fact that we talked about those that are wealthy didn't understand that at one point they were going to stand before God and give an account for themselves. And we all need to understand that. One day all of us are going to stand before God and give an account of our stewardship. How have we used what God has given us for His honor and His glory? So even though we may not consider ourselves to be rich, sometimes we may need to pay attention to these verses, because in relationship to most of the world, we are very rich. So we need to ask ourselves this question: what are we doing with what God has given us? Are we handling it appropriately? Are we handling it deceitfully? Are we storing up treasures on this earth and not treasures in heaven, and all of those things? So even though this is a warning to the rich, there is some admonition here for us also. So as he talks about the actions of the rich, the very first thing they said is they don't understand their position. They don't understand the miseries that they face. Remember this, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the reason that is it is difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven is because he begins to put his focus on his riches and removes his focus off of the eyes of the Lord. And so he trusts in his riches and he doesn't trust in the Lord. Let's make sure that we keep our eyes focused in the way they're supposed to be. And our eyes are focused on the Lord, because again, the miseries that are proclaimed for those who are rich, who do not utilize the gifts of God appropriately. Second of all, he talks about, as he looks at their riches in verse number two, he says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. It sort of puts you in mind of those that the church of Asia that Jesus talks to in the book of Revelation, where you say that you're rich and increased in goods, and say, and you don't understand that you're naked and poor and you're desolate. See, that's the sad thing, or the difficult thing about the rich people of this world, the people that have some of this world's possessions. They think that they are comfortable. They think that they are just well off, and they don't have anything to worry about, and they don't understand how God views them. And this is always a challenge for us to ask ourselves, how does God view us? How does God see us? And that's the thing we always have to keep in our mind. How does God view us and how does God see us? Their riches are corrupted and their garments are moth-eaten. Now you'll notice how they mishandle the riches of God. In verse number 3, he says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were a fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. There, the rust that is upon those things is a witness against them. And what's that mean? What do you mean the rust that is on your gold and silver is a witness against you? Here's what it means. You have taken what God has given you and you have set it aside and you have not utilized it. You have stored it back. It's sort of like the man that had the barns. He said, oh, look at my barns. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns because of all of my wealth. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall these things be? You see, the rich, the reason, the rust is a witness against them. Listen, if you take it and store it away and hide it, that's a witness against you that you might not be utilizing it for God the way that you should be. You see, if you take it and store it away, and you never take consideration for those who are less fortunate, then that rust may be a witness that you're misappropriating God's funds. I want you to think about that. Have you misappropriated God's funds? The rust, the witness against you because you have stored back, not utilizing what God has given you to help others. Remember, chapter number 4 and verse 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know that you should be helping those that are less fortunate than you, and you do not, to you that's sin. See, what they have stored back for the last days, see, what you have heaped treasure together for the last days, that's not going to help you. Let's keep in mind, what's he doing here now? He's reminding those that are rich, and he's warning them, and he's also trying to, by using this illustration, to encourage the believers, the followers of Christ, who are being abused at the hands of the rich, or the rich are not helping them the way that they should, to patiently endure and trust in the Lord. That's the point he's trying to make here. You see, God knows this. He says, behold the hire of the laborers, verse number 4. Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the lords of the Sabbath. Here's what we want to understand. First of all, God sees their fraud. God sees how they have mistreated those who are working for them. God sees how they have handled their finances. Here, listen, this is important for every one of us. God sees how you have handled your finances. God has given you the power to get wealth. God has given you what you have got, and how have you utilized that for Him? That is so very important. We're going to get into the place here sometimes very soon where we talk about the one thing that God always requires is the first fruits. God requires the first. God requires the best. And if we hold back the first fruits, and if we hold back our best and give God what's left over, God is not pleased with that. So we got to understand that. Some people think as long as I give God something, God is going to be satisfied with that. But if you look into the way the Bible teaches, God is not satisfied with those things. So, listen, God sees. That's the important thing there. God sees the rich fraud here. God sees you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts. In other words, look, you have taken everything that I have given you and you've used it on yourself. You've used it on your wants. You've used it on your need. You've used it on what you, your pleasure. You have lived in pleasure on this earth. God sees that. You have lived without regard for the welfare of the needy. You know, I've been getting really convicted over this fact recently about just, and I made mention of it just not too long ago, but think about all of the dollars that have gone through that Emmanuel, the people who are members of Emmanuel Baptist Church, think about all the dollars that they have made in the last year. How many of them have we used for the Lord? I'm not talking about what is coming to the church coffers. I'm talking about the money that we have made and how have we used that for the Lord. I've been really convicted about that in my own life. The money that I made last year, whatever that was, how much of that did I use for the Lord and have I used to help the needy and those that are less fortunate than I? Have I really been a good steward of all that God has given me? I've been really convicted about that and I've really been considering that. Have I just, here's the thing, have I used it all on me? Lived without regard for the needy? See, God sees these things. God sees how they have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton and nourished their hearts. God sees the fact that they have condemned and killed the just. He sees their treatment of others and how the treatment of others has been unjust. God sees. And here's the thing. Again, let's remember. He's talking to the believers and the followers of Christ. And his encouragement to them is to be patient. And so what he's saying is, I see how the rich handle their money. I see how the rich handle their business. I see how the rich have been unjust towards you. I see it. I understand. Be patient. See, that's what he says next. Be patient. You know, there are times in our lives when we feel that way, right? We don't know. Does God understand? Does God see? Does God know? Does God know my life and what I'm going through? Does God see my life and see what I'm going through? And we need to understand that God does see. And sometimes we can get burdened down and weighted down maybe and wonder, but listen, just be patient. God knows, God sees, God understands. Be patient. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How long should we be patient? Verse 7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient unto the harvest. That's the next illustration that he uses. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. And he uses the illustration of the husbandman. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. What we want to understand is our reward will be when the Lord returns. Our reward will be not a heavenly reward, not an earthly reward. Our reward will be a heavenly reward. And we want to understand that. And I believe when I preached this not too long ago, I believe that I talked about, remember how it's difficult when you're maybe raising a garden, or when you can think about the farmer who has his crops out in the field and maybe his funds are getting low. And it's just not time for the harvest to be reaped yet. And his funds are getting low and he's tempted to go and bring in some of the harvest, because his funds are getting low, and he has to wait. Because if he harvests too early, he's going to lose some of his reward. And so he has to wait until that latter rain comes, and that latter rain comes, and that latter rain is that which causes the fruit to really grow. I mean, it really causes it's really what makes it prosperous. And they wait patiently and they pray, Lord, look, my coffers are getting empty and I need it to rain. Lord, please let it rain so that can grow, so I can harvest it. And they have to patiently wait. Well, the same thing's true for us. You know, we don't want God to give us all of our blessing now, right? We don't want to take some of our heavenly reward and waste it on earthly things. So let's patiently wait on the Lord and wait on the Lord's blessing. Let's wait on the latter rain. Let's wait until God's timing. And then in God's timing, it'll all be good. Patiently wait on the latter rain. It doesn't want to harvest before the time, and neither do we want to be rewarded before our time. I mean, think about this. Do we really want to trade eternal blessing for earthly blessing? Do we really want to trade eternal blessing for earthly blessing? And I know we're tempted sometimes to say, yeah, it'd be good just to have a little bit of blessing while we're here down on this earth. And I understand that. We wish that things were easier. We wish that financially, you know, our financial would be more prosperous financially. But the fact of the matter is, we need to patiently wait because, again, we wouldn't want to waste heavenly blessing or use heavenly blessing for earthly blessing. So let's keep that in mind. And how are we going to wait? I mean, there's none of us that like to wait, do we? Yesterday, Haley and Daniel came down to the house and were going to fix supper, and they said they'd like to have an apple pie, but then they said, no, we don't really want an apple pie. But when they got to the house, they said, you make that apple pie yet? And she says, well, I didn't get the stuff. You said you wanted it, but you said you didn't really want it, so I didn't get the stuff. And then Kim had to go to the store today before supper, and she started to get the stuff for some apple pie, and she said, nah, I'm not going to, you know, they said they want it, but they don't really want it, they said, because anyway, come back, fix lunch, you know, and Haley said, well, didn't you get the stuff for the apple pie? Well, anyway, finally, but when we went to the nursing home, Kim finally bought the stuff for the apple pie. We finally figured out that they wanted the apple pie, okay? So now here it is Sunday afternoon, and they wanted the apple pie on Saturday afternoon. Now it's Sunday afternoon. I heard Haley right before we was getting ready to come to church. Can we have the apple pie yet? You know, out of the stove, it's sitting there cooling. You know what? That thing, you can smell it. You know the house smells like apple pie, and you know that when you dig into that thing, I mean, it's going to be delicious. And you just can't, I mean, my mouth's watering right now just thinking about that apple pie. You can't hardly wait, right? Patiently wait. It's difficult to wait. It's difficult to be patient, isn't it? The Lord is trying to, and James is trying to encourage these believers to patiently wait on the Lord. We do not want to have our harvest before its time. And he says to patiently wait by establishing your heart in verse number 8. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Establishing your heart, what does that mean? That means take heart, be of good cheer, do not be dismayed, or faint, or sink under your pressures. Be of good courage. And again, it is persevere. Trust the Lord. Believe that the Lord has your best interest at heart. Believe that the Lord is going to prosper you for your faithfulness to Him. Just establish your heart in walking with the Lord. His return is coming. It draweth nigh. Patiently wait. You say, yeah, but it seems like it's been forever. And you've always heard them say that the Lord's coming and all that. But yes, when it actually happens, you're going to say, man, it happened in the blink of an eye. You'll also say, I really wasn't ready for it yet, right? It's sort of like the birth of the baby. That girl that I used to work with down at the nursing home, you know, she had her baby this week. And I mean, She's been looking to that thing. She put on Facebook, your baby's progress at week number 4 or something like that, you know? I mean, son, she's wore it out. And, you know, they got that big belly out there and they're oh, when's this thing ever going to get here, you know, and I can't wait till it gets here and all that stuff. And you've been waiting for 40 weeks. And it's not supposed to be born until tomorrow, but I think it was born Friday. And then, wham, there it is. It gets here all of a sudden. When it's like, wow, how did that happen so quick? And that's the way it is a lot of times, right? You wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then when it happens, how did that happen so quick? That's the way the coming of the Lord is going to be. And the reward is going to be so great. So establish your heart. Wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Patiently endure. And don't grudge other people. Ooh. This one's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? Verse number 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. What's that mean? You ever held a grudge against someone? I have my entire life held a grudge against people. You know, it always seemed like all my buddies, they always had a better car than I did. They had better clothes than I did. They had whatever. It was always seemed to be better. And I always wanted what they had. It didn't matter what it was. I wanted what they had. It was better than mine. In all actuality, it probably wasn't in a lot of cases. I always felt that way. And I always held a grudge against them because it seems like, you know, it's easy for us to hold grudges, isn't it? I mean, somebody gets a blessing and what something opens up and they get a promotion on the job and why didn't I get that promotion? Or, you know, somebody gets a new car. Why didn't I get a new car? Or you know, somebody gets to go on vacation. Why didn't I get to go on vacation? Whatever. Puts me in mind of the words of Jesus to Peter when Jesus is telling Peter what's going to happen to him in his last days. And he turns, Peter looks at, turns and looks at John and says, but what shall this man do? And Jesus looks at Peter and more or less says, what's that any of your business? What's that to you, Peter? You worry about Peter and let me worry about John and we'll be a whole lot better off. You know, sometimes in our Christian walk and we're walking and we look at other people and we'll say, why do they seem to have it so good? Why aren't they having to suffer like I am? Why does it seem like my Christian life and my Christian walk are so full of suffering? You see, we're holding a grudge against those people. And listen, just be glad that God's blessing them. Just be glad that they're a recipient of the blessings of God. And, you know, he's saying don't hold a grudge against them. What's it to you if God decides to give somebody $1 million? What's that to you if God says, you're going to eat bread and water the rest of your days? What's that to you? That's better than what you deserve, isn't it? Every one of us here tonight, every one of us are in a better position than we deserve. We all have a home to live in. I don't think there's any of us homeless. I think for the majority of us, we're pretty well fed. Most of us have a decent car to drive. I mean, we've got made, according to some people in this world. We don't have any reason to complain. We got far better than what we deserve. So listen, what happens when you hold a grudge against someone? Well, you start looking, and here's the thing that the Lord has been dealing with me about. Quit looking at the things that you don't have and be thankful for the things that you do have. And that happens to us all the time. We look at everybody else and we see the things that they have, or we look at things that we would like to have, and we look at all those things that we don't have, and when we start focusing on the things we don't have, we can't appreciate the things that we do have, and we can't be thankful for them. And that's what he's trying to tell us here. If you start looking at other people and what they're going through and how their life appears to be blessed, and a lot of times it only looks like that on the outside. You don't really know what's going on in their heart. But if you do that and you start focusing on what you don't have, you can't be thankful for what you do have. And it's going to cause your heart to be burdened down and weighted down. And listen, grudge not, because remember, so you won't be condemned. The judge stands at the door. Holding a grudge against someone else And the way that God is blessing someone else only will, it will do nothing to them, and it will damage your walk with Christ. It will cause you to be bitter in your heart. And that bitterness that you have in your heart will cause your walk to not be as close to the Lord. So just be thankful for where you're at. Be thankful for the place that God has given you, and realize you are far better than what you deserve. It gives us an example. It will help you to patiently endure. And he gives us an example in verse number 11. The patience of Job. Remember, Job, remember how he patiently endured. His wife told him, "Why don't you curse God and die?" But yet he maintained his integrity. And here's what we understand. God is pitiful. God is full of mercy. In other words, God looks at our plight. God looks at our heart. God looks at what we're going through. And he is going to deal with us in mercy. He's going to understand where we're at. He's going to be felt with the feelings of our infirmities. And he's going to deal with us in mercy. And let's always understand that. Again, we don't want God to deal with us what we deserve, right? We always want God to deal with us in mercy. And so, remember, as he dealt with Job and was pitiful and mercy towards him, he will do us likewise. Let's always remember where you're at this moment in your life. You don't know where God is going to bring you 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road. You don't know what the plan of God is, and the place that you're at in your life may be preparing you for the place that God wants you to be. So just patiently wait. Let patience have her perfect work. Just trust in the Lord. And it will surprise you what the Lord has in store for you. He also wants us to remember the prophets. Remember the prophets. Verse number 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. In other words, do you think you have it bad for walking faithfully with Christ? Again, remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the early first century Christians, and they had it difficult. And he's saying, okay, you think you got it bad, but let's remember the prophets and how many of them were mistreated, and they lost their lives for standing and teaching the truth of God. You think of Jeremiah. All Jeremiah was doing was telling the truth of who God is and what God's plan was, and how that they were not following God. And what they do, they threw him down in the pit, in the miry pit, and they fed him bread and water. I mean, he lived in horrible conditions, all because he was just saying exactly what God wanted him to say. He was speaking the word of God, and he was treated horribly by the people of God because of it. You don't have it that bad, do you? John the Baptist lost his head for telling the truth. You don't have it so bad, do you? You see, take the example of the prophets. They patiently endured and prophesied the word of God, and they endured because they saw him as faithful. We should do likewise. Verse 12 says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Condemnation. Basically, what he's saying is, be faithful in your waiting. Above all else, be faithful in your patient enduring. Because God is going to bless you. Because I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Listen, you walk with the Lord. You put God first, and I guarantee you, in the end, it'll be worth it. After all, child. You walk with the Lord when others will not walk with the Lord. You put Him first. You honor Him with everything that you have. And I guarantee you at the end, for eternity, it'll be worth it. How do I know that? Because God says it will be. So patiently endure. Will the Lord return in 2014? I don't know. But I do know this. The Lord wants us to be encouraged as we follow Him in these last days to walk patiently with Him. Heavenly Father, we pray that You add Your blessing to Your Word tonight. We pray that Your people will be encouraged to walk with You and patiently endure, even in the face of being treated unjustly. Help us to walk patiently with You, Lord. And in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray.